This is a recording of the Area Service Workshop taped at the first California Mid-State Regional Convention for NA in Fresno, California on Saturday, June 30th, 1990. In observance with the 11th tradition stating anonymity at the public level, please keep this tape within the fellowship and observe the anonymity of all NA speakers.
Thank you, Pat. At this time, I have ex Rita C. to read the 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you, Rita. The format for this meeting is we have several speakers here today that's going to talk on service positions on an area level. And the first speaker that I would like to introduce today is Danny G., and he's going to speak to us on area chairperson.
My name's Danny, and I'm an addict. The first one, huh? Well, okay. I really don't know what to talk about. You know, like it's funny, I was thinking about this. It says, okay, you're going to talk about area service. And I thought, oh, shit, I'm not in the gut, right? Because that's the first thing that happens to me whenever I become part of area service, the business part of it. Because, like, I don't know, for me, you know, like, I forget what area service is there for. You know, because like being real sick, you know, like area service, the main thing that I got out of it, like toward the end, was for area service is a place where all the groups get together, and we get to take care of business for the groups in the area, so that they can take care of business for the addict that's still recovering, and they don't have to be like, you know, like okay, well we got to, you know, put on this function and that function, you know, and free the other members up, you know, like to do 12-step work, you know, to carry the message, and to promote recovery, you know, and like what it was like for me going into an area of service meeting, you know, and being the chairperson. Like, I was okay as being the GSR, right? Because when you're the GSR, you know, like, everybody's kind of, like, taking care of business for you, you know? Like, you have the format set up, and you have, like, the executive committee, you know, like, the area service chair, the vice chair, the treasurer, you know, and like, all that stuff being taken care of, and all you got to do is, like, is sit back and pick them apart, you know. Well, you're not giving me enough time to share my side, and I need more information on this, you know. And my group wants to know, you know. And so, like, I was real okay with that one, you know. And I got to be a GSR for maybe 2 or 3 months, and then I don't know how. Well, I do know how. It's the old railroad, right? You know, nobody else wants to do it. And here you got this one addict, you know, who's not willing to say no, but not willing to jump up and down and say yes. I want to be the area service chair. And that was me, you know, and so after being, you know, nominated and elected as chairperson, my first two meetings I walked away physically sick, you know, because like of the personalities, you know, involved in it, and I walked away, I knew I had an ulcer, you know, there was this big burning sensation inside my gut, you know, and like I beat myself up for a while, you know, And I did this wrong, and I should have let that person talk more, and we really didn't get anything taken care of, and all we did was like argue back and forth, you know, and then finally the GSR report got to be taken care of, you know, and like what I got in touch with after about two meetings is that I was not the one that was doing the driving, you know, I was not the one doing the driving. I mean, like, I don't know what entered my head, you know, and that's all I have to share, you know, it's like, what, you know, my experience as an area service chair. And looking back on it, you know, it was like, okay, you got the driver's seat, you know. And I don't, you know, like, we don't. Like, it all falls back to basics, you know, and said, you know, like, God has a driver's seat, you know, and that God was, like, working through the GSRs. You know, and like the other subcommittee chairs, you know, and so that was great. It was easy for me then, you know, and like I was really surprised at how the attendance picked up when I started taking suggestions from other people, you know, and how like cutting down the time limit of our meeting to like 3 hours, you know, because like people weren't coming around because like area service meetings would drag out to like 4 and 5 hours, you know, we don't want to spend a Saturday, you know, taking care of business for 4 or 5 hours. And so we did that, you know, and that seemed to help, you know. And then somebody else suggested, well, you know, instead of like really arguing this point back and forth, you know, why don't we just have two pros and two cons and we'll have a vote. Well, okay, you know, and I got started, I got real used to doing all that stuff, you know, and like I wasn't real, because I've seen other area service chair people, you know, and like they were so intelligent, they like flip through their guidelines, you know, and say, well, it says here in the guidelines, this is the way it's supposed to be done. I didn't know that stuff. You know, I didn't have the guidelines memorized. This stuff, and I learned how to delegate, and I learned how to do that. You know, whenever there's a questions of guidelines, like Aaron or somebody else would be sitting next to me, and I'd say, Aaron, look this up, you know, and let's go on to something else. And for me, that's what made an area service committee business meeting run real smooth. You know, it's like when we got like different personalities out of the way, especially mine, you know, and just like did it the way that I thought it was supposed to be done, which is everybody participate, you know. And there was a lot of times like when it didn't go real smooth, you know, and like when people would insist on arguing a point, and I'd get like, there'd be times when I'd be like climbing over the table, you know, telling them we've already gone through this, we've already voted on this a month ago, you know, and like other people would be looking at me and they'd say, why are you doing that? And I'd have to make amends. It was a real humbling experience, you know, and there was a lot of stuff that went on that saved my life, you know, during that time. I went through a divorce as an area service chairperson, you know, and I did not want to go and take care of Narcotics Anonymous business, you know. After all, don't you guys know that I'm going through the heaviest thing in my life, you know? And it was great, you know, because like that business meeting, a lot of times I was real into self and I didn't want to go get recovery. I didn't want to go to meetings. The only thing that I had to cling on to was an area service business meeting, you know, and people wouldn't really be interested in what was going on with me. But what it did is it got me a chance to get out of, you know, what I was going through and get into what they were going through, you know, regardless whether it was bigger or smaller or whatever, you know. And I don't know, you know, like my term, you know, as the area service chairperson, I got real grateful and I didn't want to leave. You know, I didn't want to leave. You know, but it was time to go. You know, it was time for somebody else to take it. And I was asked to do it again, you know, because it was going real smooth and I liked it. And I was very, it was like a kid that you raised, you know. And we were above our prudent reserve, you know. It was nothing that I did. You know, it was nothing that I did. It was because the area got behind it, you know, got behind its committee. And started, you know, participating, you know, and like they started taking back to their meetings the needs that the area had, you know. And a lot of times meetings didn't realize that how we were so below our prudent reserve for 2 years, you know. And we have fallen below our prudent reserve since then, you know, but it's always been built back up, you know. I don't know, you know, like the biggest thing that I found, you know, about the Area Service Committee was that it's a place, you know, where all the groups can go and share what's going on, you know, and like, that's real important, you know, because like, I don't know about how it was for you guys, but I have a real hard time communicating, you know, and that's where all the groups get to communicate, is in a meeting, you know, with each other. And there'd be people that'd be willing to help, you know, whatever problems they had, you know, and other groups would share their experience. It was a real nice experience for me for being area service chair, but at first it wasn't. You know, like I said, at first I got really, really sick of it, and it was all behind fear, you know. And I don't know, you know, as far as being a chairperson, it was... It was like I got to do a lot of stuff. I learned stuff, you know, because like when I'd pick those other areas, service chair people apart, you know, and I'd be told like, Danny, that's not relevant, you know, that's not important, you know, like, I got to remember what it felt like sitting back there and being told that that wasn't relevant or important, because my head interprets it as, that's a stupid question, you know, even though they didn't say that, you know, like that's what my head, you know, comes across. And so like I was real careful of not to do that. I learned from everybody, you know, the good things and the bad, you know, like when I saw something negative, you know, like I'd always try not to do it. And eventually I did, you know, but that's what the 10th step is for. Area service committees are real important. I can remember when this fellowship was like very small, and this is the second convention that's been held in Fresno. The first convention that was held was a Northern California convention when maybe the fellowship was maybe, well, 2 or 3 years old, I don't know. And we didn't have a thing as an area service committee. And from what I've seen is like whenever we branched off and broke up the fellowship and started an area service committee and started going to region and started getting into world, what happened is like I no longer knew everybody's name in a meeting. You know, I didn't, you know, that wasn't a luxury. I couldn't go in there and say I know everybody here. What happened is I go into meetings today and I might count on both my hands the number of people I know. The rest of them are new, you know. And that's the beauty of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, like that, that it keeps growing, you know, and like a newcomer is the most important person in a meeting, and in any meeting. That's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny. Okay, our next speaker is going to be Andy C., and he's going to talk on area service representative.
Yeah, I'm a drug addict. My name's Andy.
Hi, Andy.
I've been to many of the regional meetings, being the area service alternate for 209 South, but very similar to a GSR position, and maybe just a little bit higher, you know, up into you know, getting closer to world. And I don't know, you know, when they asked me if I wanted to, you know, get involved in that, you know, I said, sure, why not? You know, what I've got to lose, you know, I'm already a GSR, you know, give me more power, you know. I want this you know, power so that I can run things the way that I want to. And you know, it's not like that at all. You know, it's you got to sit back and look at what I'm doing, you know, and am I expressing a group conscience, or am I doing it the way that I want to do it? And you know, I try to stay out of myself and the things that I want to do, you know, and not have NA run the way that I think it should be ran. Because I ran myself into the ground before I got here, and I don't need to run NA into the ground, you know, doing it my way. But I think basically what I'm doing now is taking the group conscience from area and taking it to the regional level, and of course the regional rep will take it to world. And you know, it's you still get into the personality thing, and sometimes it seems to be running like a madhouse, you know, everybody talking at the same time and nothing getting done. But looking at it overall at the end of the meeting, you know, after 3 or 4 hours, you know, you're drained, and all this shit's gone through your head, and thinking about it, you know, a lot does get done. And if it wasn't for people that were willing to get involved in service, you know, this whole thing would fall apart. You know, I'm not doing it the way that I want it to be done. And the other people doing it the way that they want it to be done either. You know, we're doing it, we're voting a group conscience, you know, whatever the group feels, we'll take that and vote on it. From region, we get things coming down from World Services, and we'll take that back to area and let the GSRs know what's going on with World, and they will of course take it to the meetings and, you know, vote the group conscience, and then it just comes all the way back up. And it's real interesting seeing how all this shit works. You know, so we're not supposed to be organized, you know. Bullshit, and we are organized, you know. And you know, you look at it, you have to be organized to a certain extent, or else the whole thing will fall apart. You won't be able to get anything done. And business meetings are just that, they're business meetings. It's not bullshit meetings, you know. You're not here to whine and you know, cry and snivel and try to get your own way. But we do anyway at times. And that's okay too. People that get into service, I think, have a better chance of staying clean. I know that when I first got cleaned up, I took a meeting, you know, after 90 days. And after, you know, my 6 month stint was up, I was wanting to take the meeting again, and I didn't. And then they asked me to be a GSR, and well, you know, that's cool too. You know, I'll do that. And that's been real interesting, you know, learning what's going on and trying to keep the group informed. And, you know, from there up to area. And, you know, I love this program, and I want to see it work, and I want to, you know, I want to see people keep coming back and see the new faces. You know, it's given me a new life. You know, I didn't have to lose everything. And just being into service makes me feel real good about myself. You know, it really does. I enjoy life today. And, I don't know what else to say. An area service, you know, I mean, shit, man, all you can do is just, you know, take the group conscience up and, you know, tell everybody about it, you know, in the region. And if you got problems, you get help from the other areas, you know, and we learn by other people's mistakes and by other people's experiences. And just keep it running. And it's, you know, we're slowly moving forward, you know, one step at a time. But, you know, we need everybody's help. We need everybody's input, you know. Narcotics Anonymous is yours. You know, it's not mine. It belongs to everybody. And if you don't get your say in, you know, you don't get in there and express your opinions, you know, nobody will know what's going on with you and what you would like to see in the group or in the area or in the region. You know, you have to tell, you know, tell your GSR, your related area, you know, area will take it to the region and then to World. But it starts with one person, you know, and that is you. Make your vote count, you know. Be there at the business meetings for your group. Nobody will know if you don't speak up. But we're all here and doing the best job that we can. For NA as a whole. enjoy the convention. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. The next service position we're going to speak on is Area Treasurer, and I have asked Jack S. to speak.
I'm Jack, and I'm an act. Treasurer. I haven't been an area level treasurer. I am a group treasurer, and so I really can just relate what my experience and the strengths and the difficulties I've gone through as a group treasurer. But I've been there enough to where I see that basically, you know, there's not any, it's not more responsibility, it's just the scope of what you have to deal with is a greater scope of things. And being a treasurer, you have to maintain a prudent reserve, which is it's a monetary value of like what our group conscience at our area is one month's worth of expenses, and then some a little bit extra like emergency money in case like a group's going to fail or something. Something happens, they can't come up with their rent, so we can, you know, we can't carry the attic. We can carry the message that, you know, at area level, we're there to service the group. So, you know, we come up with this prudent reserve. You know, it's like everything above and beyond that, you know, it's like working money for the month and stuff. And, you know, for some reason here in the state of California, from what I understand, in NA, we're the only state that feels it necessary for areas to have, like, insurance policies. You know, at least that's what I've heard at regional level coming down from, like, world and stuff. That, you know, here on the West Coast, we have insurance. They don't have it back east and stuff. And so, like, treasurer's got to keep involved in that and keep in touch with the insurance people to pay the premiums and stuff. And there's new directives coming down from world about what the IRS is doing with the new tax laws and stuff. And this gave me a big scare at first, because like the way I read this paper was beginning was like, every group's got to go get this tax ID number. And it scared me. And it's like, every treasurer out there is going to have to become a certified public accountant, learn how to keep all these extensive books and everything. You know, I'm an addict. I can't keep anything simple, you know. And, you know, it's like, between my group and my higher power, I finally just said, nah, all I need to do is keep simple books. And I actually read the paper, and I understood what it finally said. You know, at an area level, it is important to really understand this. All groups holding $5,000 or more in cash at any one time must have a ID number registered with IRS. That means you have to prepare a quarterly statement for the IRS. Your books always have to be open to them to come look at them at any time. And I mean, me thinking on it as an addict, I'm not going to open my nothing to the IRS. I mean, they scare the hell out of me every year at the end of the year. But, you know, speaking group level, you know, if you're a group that deals with quite a bit of cash flow and you choose to get a bank account, if you have a checking account at group or area level, you have to have a tax ID number. And, you know, if you don't deal in this manner, you know, and you have this kind of cash flow, and you don't keep good books, somebody could come in and say, well, where's this money going? Well, we donated it on to region. Prove it. And it's not up to region to keep the books on where their money's coming from. It's up to them to say, our money's going there. Because we can't be sure that somebody there is going to do the job that they're supposed to be doing. So, you know, I come to the understanding that, you know, I came up with a very easy bookkeeping system, and it's just like two-sheet ledger. You know, one side's your incoming, one side's your outgoing. It's very simple. At like a group level, right after I have our business meeting, we have our business meeting like the last meeting of the month. And I go out and I resupply for the whole next month, pay for our literature and stuff. Then everything above prudent reserve goes to area. You know, and at area level, it's got to be pretty much exactly the same way. You know, you've got your prudent reserve, you pay for your literature, you pay for everything that's got to be going outgoing, you see what's incoming, you take the balance of the two, and you donate it up. You know, because, like, I've seen a lot of times where people figure, you know, like, what are they doing for me right now? Why should I give this money to them? They're not doing nothing. We can use this money. Well, you know, hey, all that money comes back. I mean, informed to conventions, workshops, literature coming down through. I mean, helping to open up new meetings to get it out there for the addict who's on the street that wants a place to come in to find this miracle of recovery. That's where in my heart I feel where it's at. You know, and so I've been maintaining this book, and I was given this can along with the trusted servant position of treasurer, and it's got like 3 years of receipts in it. And I'm going bonkers trying to juggle all this stuff, so I got a group conscience, just go back to the first of this year and try to jumble it out, sort it out, and get it all down. And I'm starting to make some pretty good headway on it. But, you know, it's like a bill paying, you know. At a group level, we pay cash for everything. Like, our literature comes in, make sure that the rent's paid, and, you know, supplies. We get supplies, and everything goes to the area. And at area level, they've got things like quarterly, each subcommittee turns in their budget. So the treasurer's got to get with the subcommittee to sort of say, well, this is what we've got to work with. Now, we've got to get these budgets around to where everybody can get serviced in a good way, and that, you know, and nobody's getting too much that will hurt somebody over here, you know. And so you get the treasurer, you get all the GSRs, and you get all these people in this room. I'll tell you what, the miracle of this program is people can agree through a group conscience. I mean, God has given us his message through this group conscience to where, you know, feelings might get hurt, but hey, once it's taken, that's the plan of action. And, you know, I got into service work at about 90 days clean, and through that, you know, it's helped me up to 8 months right now, and I love service work. It's, you know, it's taken my mind off of running from relapse and running to relapse. It's put my mind on what can I do to help somebody, you know. And I don't know, when I got that treasury box, the first thought through my head was, well, now I got money to fall back on when my money's gone. And I have yet to find the need to fall back on that, because I found by giving my life to service and giving my life to my higher power, my needs are met. And I would have to be really taking it upon myself, being greedy, to have to touch that money in that box. And we were able to just recently change our group level prudent reserve, because, you know, we found as we're growing, we're getting bigger as a group, but our needs have changed because we're coming more self-supportive through our seventh tradition. So our prudent reserve is being, as our group's getting bigger, our prudent reserves drop because, you know, we're more in touch with actually what our needs are and how much it costs us per month to operate, and to see that this message of recovery can go to the addicts that attend our meeting. And, you know, when I first was elected as treasurer, you know, nobody explained to me what a prudent reserve and how the budget worked for this group meeting. So I figured, okay, a prudent reserve you never touch. Take your seventh tradition, you buy all your supplies out of that. you got all your literature, and after it's done, if you got nothing left of the seventh tradition, nothing goes there yet. You know, it's like you never touch the crude and reserve, and I've come to understand now that, you know, you buy your supplies and everything out of the prudent reserve, and your seventh tradition makes the money back up, and everything above that prudent reserve at that time to go to area goes to area. And it's like I have this envelope in the box with money in it. Never did nothing with it. I mean, the only reason I knew there was money in the envelope was when the box was handed to me, it was checked to make sure it was still there. You know, that money comes in and goes out constantly now, and it works. And through that, you know, I've come to really feel that the fears I had about managing money were my own concoctions of my own disorderly thinking, because, you know, money's real simple. I mean, they're just figures, and to be a treasurer, you just need semi-basic math. And I mean, you don't even need to be able to add. You need to be able to count 1 to 10 and push a button on a calculator. And it's a good level of service work to get into. There's a lot of responsibility that goes with it, because you have this group that are putting their faith in you that, hey, you're carrying the money that keeps us alive as a meeting in this meeting space. And when I got there, you know, it was an ego issue. And I still think there's some ego issue there, but, you know, I'm working on it. But between the group level and the area level on treasurer, you know, like I say, the responsibilities are the same. Just the scope of things you have to deal with. It's just a bigger scope. And, you know, if any of you have any questions on the new tax ID or working knowledge of prudent reserve and stuff, you know, feel free to ask. And if you don't ask here, when you get back and you do go to one of your service committee meetings, ask them there. Or if they don't know about it, take it back to them. It's very important, you know, because it's important to NA as a whole. I mean, IRS, if they decide they're going to come in, they want to check books, they're going to start from group level and go all the way up to world. If they find a scrutiny at this level, they're going to check to where the scrutiny ends. It's so important to keep such straight books. I mean, if you make a donation of a dollar, hey, you got to write that down, because that $1 could get you questioned. So, they say treasurer is a very simple job for complex people. It's like recovery, you know. And I made it a nightmare, and I brought it on myself, because, you know, I was always scared of money. Because when I had money, I didn't know what to do with it, so I spent it on killing myself. And now I've got the group's money, and you know what? It feels real good when I know that money's going to a cause far greater than what I could consider my own. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Okay, the next area service position is secretary, and I have asked Cheryl to speak.
Hi, I'm Cheryl. I'm an addict.
Hi, Cheryl.
I was area secretary last year, and I don't know, I got to meet a lot of people being secretary. There's a lot of interaction with being secretary of area service. I don't know, I've been in area service since right after I first started coming into the program. It's been a real useful tool for me, you know. I have a tendency to be this outgoing person on the outside and like real scared on the inside. And you know, it's like helped me to meet a lot of people and make a lot of friends. And, you know, like that's the positive things I got out of area service and being secretary. As far as the job of secretary goes, the basics of it is that you set in the area service meetings and you take the minutes, you record down, you know, the things that are, you know, that are happening and keep these recorded, and then of course you take them and you type them up and you mail the minutes out to all of the representatives and all of the subcommittees. And yeah, that's okay. You know, it's like, it's a nice job. It's a nice job, especially if you're, you know, wanting to get into some dedicated service work. You also work with the the area service representative, and like keeping up on the active meetings and like who's active and who isn't, and you keep a running phone list, you know, of the active meetings, of the active representatives, the subcommittees, the people that are holding like the positions, and you know, you get lots of phone calls from different people wanting to know different things that's going on with area service. And I don't know, it was okay. It was fun for me. I got to work real closely with the area chair and the area vice chair while I was doing it, you know, and you know, you kind of help them keep the meeting going. And I don't know, area service is a real trip. You know, it's like it's real different from the meetings, you know. It's like you get to be this, you know, this responsible person and do this responsible work, and it is work, you know, it takes some time. Typing up the meetings and sending them out, you know, it takes a few hours a month to do this. And hope that you get them accurate. You know, it's like the thing I hated most was after I'd read the minutes, you know, it's like, is there any amendments? And it's like, oh God, here we go. You know, but it's okay because it's all, you know, it's all done with love. And I really enjoyed my time. I do hope to be area service secretary again for another term coming up. I took this one off to get involved in some other areas of service. But yeah, it's you know, it's like if you're looking for a place to be with some responsibility, you know, and you have some, well, you don't even have to have typing skills, you know, as long as you can peck on a typewriter, you know, you can do area service secretary, and you know, it's you stay busy during the meeting, you know, because you got to be careful, you know, it's like, okay, what did they say, you know, you have to write this stuff down and try to get it as accurate as possible. You know, because that's a big responsibility for area service, because, you know, they use those minutes in the meetings to come, you know. In fact, a lot of times, you know, it's like 6-7 months down the road, they want to see the minutes, you know, and you're responsible for keeping up with those. And you have people that call you up and want back issues, back minutes, you know, and so you get these things for them. And it's, I don't know, it was real satisfying for me. I enjoyed doing it. I really enjoyed doing it. And I was just, like I said, with area service, it was like my vehicle to really get to know a lot of the people in the program. And I've made an awful lot of good friends, you know, some like real dear friends, you know, being secretary and other positions. And, you know, area service has really been, you know, like the way God's really used me through this program for my service. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. The next area service position is vice chair, and my name is Aaron. I'm an addict, and I will talk on vice chair. When I was asked to be vice chair, I gratefully accepted that position, thinking that it would be easy, kick back, and wouldn't have to do anything but just sit around the meeting and watch what was going on. Long behold, I found out it was much more than that. basically the vice chair fills in for the chairperson in place of his absence. He takes on the responsibilities of the chairperson, which Danny talked about earlier. Also, he helps the chairperson out with conducting the chairperson's business when it gets too overwhelming for him to do it all. So the chairperson might ask the vice chair to take on some of the responsibilities, such as this meeting I'm chairing today. The vice chair was too busy to, I mean the chairperson is, has other commitments, and he passed the responsibility down to me, which is okay today, you know, because I really enjoy being in service today. And when Jack said that service, you know, is important and it helps keep people clean, I would have to absolutely agree with that. Because I know I've been in service since I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and it's done so much for my recovery. It gave me a sense of responsibility, you know, something I wasn't used to doing. I didn't like being responsible for anything. Also, with the 209 South area, what the vice chair does for that area also is he heads the area literature committee. He's responsible for ordering all literature and supplies for the area. And I really wasn't aware of that when I accepted that position. And when I got it, you know, I says, man, you know, now I'm responsible for handling a $750 Putin reserve. I have to order all these literatures, you know, and then when I get these literature and supplies, I have to go to the area service meeting every month and sell all these supplies, and I have to keep the record straight, you know, get a ledger and keep the book straight on the money coming in and the money going out, and writing receipts for everything that's sold, and keeping receipts for everything I buy from the Northern California area up there. The responsibilities, at first I thought was too much for me to handle. It scared me, you know, accepting all those responsibilities, because, like I said, I wasn't used to being responsible, man. And I thought, you know, it was just too much for me to handle. I have learned by doing it that this position has helped me in my personal life. It has shown me how to keep records pretty much organized. It's showing me how to balance a checking account. It's showing me things like that, you know, that I not used to doing. You know, I really didn't know how to balance a checking account. I used to just write checks and didn't keep a track of what was in the account. You know, if it went over and check bounces, they just bounces, you know. And today I can't do that with this here position I hold. Also, when they asked me if I would accept this position, they tell me that I would have to be willing to accept area chairperson, you know, if I'm, you know, nominated on a group conscious, elected on a group conscious, would I be willing to accept chairperson? And that really scared me, you know. I says, well, being vice chairman, I ain't got to do nothing. Then I find out I got to do all this stuff. Then I think, you know, man, you know, next year they might want me to be chairperson. You know, they tell me I have to be willing to accept this position. And for some reason I said yes. You know, because I always hear around here in Narcotics Anonymous, you're not supposed to turn down service work, you know. Don't turn down service work. And, you know, I didn't turn it down, man. And, you know, it's that sense of fear, though, you know, the unknown. And I see what the chairperson does. I make all the area service meetings, and I observe what the chairperson is doing, so I could get a working knowledge of how the position works. You know, I don't want to go in blind if I do have to accept that position. I want to know, you know, have some kind of working knowledge of what to do, you know, on that level. I know for me it's been a rewarding and grateful experience, man, to work with the area level. Meeting people, you know, I mean, people I never met before, and just seeing how this fellowship works, you know, as a whole. I think that's the best part about it, man, seeing how the fellowship is actually run, you know, and being a part of, you know, knowing that as a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I do have a vote, I do have a say, you know, and each and every one of you out there have a vote and also has a say of what goes on in Narcotics Anonymous, because this is your program. This ain't my program, you know. This is your program. And I don't care what position you hold. If you don't hold any position, if you're just a member, your voice counts. In fact, your voice is the most important voice in the fellowship as a member, you know, because that's where it all starts, you know. And we're doing what you ask us to do, you see. And you know how Jack was talking about, you know, trying to run things the way you want to run it. When I first accepted this position, you know, I guess I had that kind of thinking myself, you know, now I got the power, you know, maybe I could do things the way I want to do it, you know. But I found out it's not like that, you know. I'm there because you people put me there, and I'm there to do the work that you ask me to do, and to vote the way you want me to vote, and to take care of business the way you want to do it, not the way I want to do it. Because everything that you guys vote on, I don't always like. See, but I have to accept that today, you see? And that's something that's new for me, you know, accepting things that I don't like, you know? And that's okay today, you know? That's okay, you know? And that's about all I have to say on Vice Chair. Basically, you know, it's not much more than what I said it is, you know? It's basically, like I said, filling in for the chairperson. At this time, what I'd like to do, if anybody has any questions or comments concerning area service positions, please feel free to ask your questions, but I will like to ask you to please come up to the podium and talk up here if you have questions. Thank you.
I'm Jack. I'm an addict. Area service is real important to me. I think I'd just like to make a short comment on the subcommittee. I'm a subcommittee chairperson, vice chair on another, and, you know, an alternate ASR. And what I've learned in the subcommittees are is that the subcommittees that are self-serving, that don't answer to the area, that only answer to themselves, they vote within themselves, you know, and they feel they don't have to answer to the ASD, usually fall apart. Ones that have a responsibility to the area seem to grow. Some of the things that we utilize in Orange County is that in public information, besides the learning and learning to speak, you know, to non-addicts, and to carry the message to the addicts of that still suffers and everybody else, is the fact that we give positions, we give titles, we give them anything they need to be in service, especially when they're new, and we hold their hand. And when they give that first pitch and they're nervous and they come on off that podium, we give them a hug and tell them they did great no matter what. And they did, man, because they were willing to serve. You know, and you need the fellowship and the unity in those subcommittees, because we're just another arm of service, you know. And as far as the one thing we learn is on the subcommittees that I'm on, that we no one person does more than anyone else, no matter what, whether they're willing or not. You know, otherwise they get burned out. I don't know, I know a lot of people that used to be in service a long time ago, and now they're not in service anymore, and that could have contributed to some of it. But I know that I was told when I first got into service that on the area level that it was cleaning the outhouse and then not telling anybody about it. That's what true service was about. I'm on several ad hoc committees, including an ad hoc committee to look into regionalization of Orange County. And that's what we do. We show up. You know, I fulfill my commitment. And a lot of times it's not easy. But it works within my program. I heard a figure that 80% of all people in service stay clean. I don't know how accurate that is, but I sure like it to be accurate in my heart, you know. You know, and I believe personally that service helps keep you clean, because I've, you know, and there's a difference between service-oriented recovery and recovery-oriented service. And I've learned that. And like most people that got into service, I thought I'd have the power and this, and boy, when I get to be chair, boy, things will be different. But thank God I had a chair that took me by hand, you know. And I had an ASR that took me up there instead of sitting there on the couch and listening. He said, it's your week to vote. You carry the group conscience. When the heart starts pumping and you're up there, and what he's doing is helping make the transition. You know, it's just not him up to the last day and then throwing me to the lions. It's not about that. It's working together hand in hand in this fellowship, and it's really helping each other, especially on, for me, the subcommittee meetings. And I've learned that, you know, if the subcommittee is real small, three people, like for public information, is usually about the right amount. So not to get discouraged and to hang in there and continue to ask for help. And go to meetings and find people that seem to walk the way they talk and ask them. Say, you know, you'd be a real value to the subcommittee. Would you like to come and like sit in once? And these are some of the things we do. Area service is real important to me. You know, I was a GSR 60 days, you know, NA Railroad, and I got there, everybody said, you're going to hate it. Man, I loved it from day one. I mean, it was so crazy, I knew I was home. And for the first year, I contributed to that craziness. You know, but over a period of time in service, you can't keep that same logic. Something happens, you start working a spiritual program, you understand, you get a working knowledge of the traditions, and it's just, you can't do it anymore, at least I couldn't. You know, I had to apply the principles I learned in this program to all my service commitments. And it seems to work real well for me today. And I stay calm in meetings. I used to remember when I first got there, there'd be people that stay calm and just nod their heads, you know, and just listen, you know, and I go, jeez. You know, I try not to nod my head too much, because when I do it, it reminds me of that, and I don't want to be a head nodder all the time. You know? But that's just a personal issue with me. But now, I'm involved in region, and I'm on some ad hoc committee there. And the important thing I'd like to share is that I get to meet a lot of people from world, not necessarily, but different places I go, and they're addicts, just like you and I. It's not Mount Olympus. The pyramid runs upside down, you know, with the group at the bottom and the attic. And these people are just human beings, and they're devoted to service. I get a lot of things where it's just a bunch of addicts in a room somewhere, you know, that writes all this stuff. So what difference does it make, you know, and this and that. And I don't believe that. I believe that dedication to service is important, and to keep all your service commitments no matter what. And then keep your group ties. I still have a treasurership in a meeting, you know, and it's important. And I know that I don't think I'd be clean today if it wasn't for service, because I got in early. And all the people I know that are in service, most of the people I know in service, you know, are doing everything they can for that for their area, for their region, and they're committed and they're dedicated, and they're beautiful people to be around. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Okay, we got time for one more.
My name is Tim and I'm an addict. And like this gentleman said, the pyramid runs downhill, which to me means the member is what it's all about and staying clean. And I belong to the Peninsula area, which is part of the Northern California region. And I believe that the region is but a trusted servant of the area, which is but a trusted servant of the group, which is but a trusted servant of the member. And there are things going on at a regional level, and we were telling our region that we don't like some of the stuff. And basically their whole answer to that was, is they didn't like us taking their inventory. And I don't agree with that. I can understand the answer coming back as a no, what we didn't want to hear. But for us not to take an opinion or a group conscious of our servant's hire, it just doesn't make sense to me. And what I'm trying to say is I like the attitude of this panel, and that it's a we program. It's an inclusive program, and seems like to me with attitudes like that, they're excluding people and their opinion. And I don't know, it's just a bitch I have with our area, and I feel I needed to air that. And
thank you. Okay, we have ran out of time. I'd like to thank the readers and all speakers for sharing today. At this time, we'll close the meeting in our usual manner with the Lord's Prayer.